Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It is episode 52 of Stands and Fits, presented by the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University from the Carl Chevrolet Podcast Studios. What's up, Fitzy?
How's it going?
Pretty good, man.
Back in the studio recording.
We've been, we had to move our time around a little bit.
We did.
Just different things going on that we've had to kind of work our way around it. So we're not going to talk much basketball just because of the fact that Iowa State and Texas Tech will be tipping off 3 hours after we get done recording this. So if you're looking forward to a lot of Iowa State hoops talk,
this is not the podcast for you.
Right. This is not the podcast you are looking for. I will be recording the Instant Reaction podcast.
Be on the lookout for that one.
The game against Texas Tech. So you can look for that one as well. To start the podcast, we got a chance to interview a former Iowa State football player, a graduate from the Iowa State College of Business, and a guy who went through the professional MBA program at the Ivy School there. Seth Zier played football at Iowa State from 2002 to 2006. Obviously came in at a pretty exciting time in Iowa State football history. The last year with Seneca, a couple bowl games, Big 12 North co-champions.
Yep. All under Coach Mack.
All under Coach McCarney. And obviously he had a lot of really good things to say about Coach Mack and his time at Iowa State. So we're going to lead the podcast off with that. It's about 20 minutes. And then we will talk to you again on the backside.
All right. Welcome to our interview with former Iowa State offensive lineman Seth Zier, who played for Coach McCarney back in the early to mid 2000s. So how are you doing today, Seth?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said before we came on air, we got snow down here, but it sounds like you got some brown grass up there, which is pretty nice for you guys up in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's been an abnormal winter thus far, but knowing that we could easily get a snowstorm as late as April, so I won't hold my breath.
Sounds good. Well, hey, to kick things off here, give the audience a little bit of background on yourself. Tell us like where you grew up and maybe tell us how you eventually wound up at Iowa State.
Sure. So I'm originally from Fort Dodge, Iowa. Digging a little bit deeper, fun fact, grew up initially in close to a small town called Manson, Iowa. Then we moved to the city, to Fort Dodge. I often tell people up here in Minneapolis that Fort Dodge is actually a city. It isn't a farm town. It's 25,000 people or more, which makes it count. I have to convince people up here in the Twin Cities of that, but I can support that. So grew up there. I was the youngest of four boys. Definitely a football family. So my two oldest brothers played offensive line for University of Northern Iowa. And my third oldest brother played for Central Division III football in Pella. He played more on the defensive side. He was the one that we say had more of the speed, played DN and linebacker. And so we all played in high school up through the ranks for Fort Dodge Senior High for the Dodgers. And then kind of my journey to Iowa State. So, you know, had that strong family football tradition, love of football. There was a point in time where my parents were going to a college game, a high school game, and a junior high game. So every weekend during the fall was pretty much jam-packed with football, but which was definitely a lot of fun for our family. But yeah, during my time at Fort Dodge, I'd say started my sophomore, junior year, started getting recruited a lot more. A lot of the local schools, Iowa, Iowa State, and University of Northern Iowa. And really had a strong connection with Iowa State. Nick Mosier, who's a year older than me, went to Iowa State, and a strong connection through him, and just knew a lot with the coaching staff, a number of the players. And so really when it came to starting to look at schools and examine them pretty hard, took some campus visits, and I actually committed early. I committed before my senior year of football at Fort Dodge Senior High. After visits, knew that Iowa State was my home. Definitely was impressed with some of the other schools, but it just felt like the right place and home. So I made that decision, and the rest was history.
At what point did you realize that you wanted to focus on business then, you know, as far as your academic side of things at Iowa State?
So if I'm being completely honest, so when looking at education-wise for Iowa State and choosing them, knew that they had a strong engineering school, but also was impressed with their business school. Coming out of high school, those were the two areas I was most interested in is engineering and then business. Had a physics professor in high school that was great, really enjoyed him and really challenged me to think about engineering. I took a few calculus classes, which I did all right, but I decided that was enough math for me. So I said, I'll pass on engineering and went business. And then, you know, that was the one thing, took some preliminary classes and just really, I wouldn't necessarily say fell in love, but really found that that was a strong suit for me and what I enjoyed doing. When went the finance route. So accounting and finance usually go hand in hand. I went more on the finance route, and that was the path I took, even on undergrad and going on to the MBA program.
So then I believe you received numerous academic awards during your football career. I believe academic All Big 12 at least once, or maybe more than that, actually. Is there one academic award that you're more proud of than the others, or are they all kind of just, you know, cool to get?
You know what? I can't necessarily speak to one individually, but I would say in terms of the consistency. So you mentioned academic All Big 12. I mean, to me, that was definitely an honor because it recognizes not only your play on the field, but play in the classroom and, you know, taking heart and value of being a student athlete. So just the consistency around that one, having received that award, you know, more than 1 year. And then another award that was, I would say academic / off-field, on-field related. So within within our team, there are specific awards. There's, and my senior year, I received the Reuben J. Miller Award. And that's one really reflective of not only representation on the field, but off the field and academics and just life. And that's, I would say that's an award definitely unique and special to me because that's recognized within our team and within our Iowa State family.
So then just kind of give us a update on everything you've been up to since you left Iowa State. And then what do you do now up in the Twin Cities?
Yeah. So update on me now. So I was 2002 to 2006. So during the Dan McCarney era, and then just history at that. So I guess to frame up my time frame there. So 2002 was the last year of Seneca. So Seneca Wallace. So that was a year, actually the last year before last season that we're ranked in the top 10. So that was a kind of a seesaw year where it started out with Florida State and just a lot of potential, had a lot of momentum, got highest ranked as top 10. And then we kind of petered out at the end, which was unfortunate, but still a good season. And then my last year is 2006. So that would have been McCarney's last year. Had a lot of, you know, successes, some challenges amidst all those years, but great experience. And then after I was done 2006, decided to hang up the cleats and just focus on education. So I was fortunate enough to come in with college credit. And then I always tell people, you know, in college athletics, you're there year round, whether you like it or not. And so you take advantage of it. So taking summer classes and any additional classes I could, I was able to finish undergrad earlier and decided to go the route of getting my MBA. And was able, so while I was playing football, was able to get a year of my MBA done and then just had a year left. A year left of school. So finished, got married. I guess I shouldn't forget that. That was very important. Married my high school sweetheart. She also attended Iowa State. Her name's Nicole. And so we got married after the 2006 season and then finished up grad school. And then after that, I had an opportunity to work for United Health Group, a private health insurance company up in the Twin Cities. And so after I graduated from the MBA program in December of 2007, we moved up to the Twin Cities and worked for United Health Group, almost a little bit over 10 years in the field of finance, corporate finance, specifically financial planning and analysis, budgeting forecast, just number stuff. While we're up there, just established a community, a church, met a lot of friends, and it's just been great up here. Then started a family up here. So going from newlyweds to zero kids to now been married actually as of yesterday, 12 years and 4 kids. So our kids are Brooke, Belle, Becca, and Braden with a B theme. The age is 7, 5, 3, and 1. And then now actually recently, like I said, been with United Health Group for a while, and now currently work with Blue Cross Blue Shield in Minnesota. Started there in June. Still doing corporate finance type work, and I'm the director of FP&A for their National Solutions division. So that's the recap of then and now. So busy managing, you know, work and life and kids, and having a blast.
Yeah, it sounds like you've certainly got your hands full with the kids there, but that's awesome to hear. You got a nice family up there. So you mentioned that you played for Coach Mack during the tail end of his coaching career here at Iowa State. Is there anything about him, like during your time, that stands out to you? Like, are there any Coach Mack stories that you like to throw out there in specific?
You know what? I can't think of any specific, but I think if you talk to any of Coach Mack guys, we're always going to hit on, cannot replicate Coach Mack energy. That man is full of energy and excitement. If you need a pump up speech, Coach Mack is the one to invite. Just his passion, not only for the game, but for his players and the team. Hard to emulate that. And that, I'd say, you know, I'm pretty sure I speak for all of us players who played for him. That's something special when it comes to coaching. And what he invests in young people and young people as myself, just with that authenticity and passion behind what he loves doing and loves coaching. You see it. He wears that on his sleeves. And I think that was definitely evident for those who played for him, but also fans and Iowa State faithful alike. They got to see what you see is what you get. So, like I said, nothing specific, but, I mean, definitely memories and special times with Mac was just his intensity and energy and just the love that he brought to us players in the game for the game and coaching. Just throughout all the ups and downs and challenges and successes and really a guy who got it.
You got obviously played during a time when Iowa State football was having, you know, quite a bit of success relative, I guess, to the history of the program, a couple bowl games. And, you know, like you mentioned, Seneca being on team and all that stuff and a lot of excitement around the program. What's it been like for you to kind of see that grow back again now here in the last couple of years with Coach Campbell and, you know, getting to winning the Liberty Bowl last year and then going to the Alamo Bowl and then kind of being, you know, one of the good stories of college football over the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, no, it's exciting. You know, when I was there with Coach Mack, so I came in 2002 area, and where there's that expectation to win, that desire and expectation of winning. And this is what this program's about and what we're doing. But also with that, got a lot of history lesson of, you know, look of where we came from and what we've had to do to build this. But also what I appreciated too is, you know, oftentimes old players would come back and let's say they weren't part of, you know, the successful era that we had and go from there, but really hitting on Coach Mack would often hit on this, like you're part of the Cyclone family and you're part of building that foundation to get to where we were at that time. And even amidst the ups and downs, you're a part of it. You're a part of that legacy, a part of that foundation. So that for me segues into just seeing the success now, knowing that even though I play, I may date myself here now, almost, you know, a little bit over 12 years ago now, still part of that Cyclone family and part of that foundation, part of that tradition. So it's definitely excited to see what Coach Campbell's doing to get that swagger back and that confidence of, hey, we're not here to compete. We're here to win.
So going back to your time on the field, you were a member of a team that had some big wins, including the 2005 23-3 Cy-Hawk victory over number 8 Iowa. Are there any specific accomplishments on the field that you look back on fondly, either as an individual or as a team?
You know, in one season, Well, that was one. So that was during 2005, and that was, you know, if I try to think back of, you know, from 2002 to 2006, every season, even the downs had their unique special memories attached to them. I think 2005 was a special season. There was definitely one of those where I'd say the tough pill to swallow was the potential of that team that we had. I mean, there's times I have a plaque up just because that was the year we went to the Houston Bowl, played TCU and fell short against them. But look at a number of the scores and how close we were. There's a few, I think, a number of games we won in overtime and just, you know, finishing with the details. And that was, you know, amidst the wins and losses, those are some of the lessons learned of, hey, here's the potential, even with the success, but the potential of how you can strive to get better and achieve more. That Iowa win was definitely special and great momentum going on the rest of the season. But you know what? If I were to pick one, I really can't. I mean, for me, it's the entire experience. People often ask me, so what do you miss? What do you miss about playing college football and your time there? And I tell them, you know what? The two things that pop into my mind are, you know what? The games, just the intensity, the mixed emotions with the games and excitement with all of them. And then also just my teammates, the camaraderie, the band of brothers that you do year-round workouts together, and all that culminates to the time on the field. And when you get out there and perform and leave it all out there, it's a special brotherhood. So for me, my takeaways, my memories are attached to those guys that I was out there on the field with and a number of those games. It was definitely, I was fortunate and blessed to play in a lot of games and actually be injury free. All my injuries came during my redshirt freshman year. So God blessed me to keep me healthy on the field too.
Have you had an opportunity to get back to Ames and go to a game, or, you know, just, I guess, be around the university anytime recently?
You know what? So the last time I actually did go back to the Baylor game, but really haven't had the opportunity to, you know, go back for a while now. For I guess it's been probably 2 years ago since I've been connected with some of the teammates and guys for a alumni featured event. And then 2 years ago, went back. The time that I went back was Coach Mack was inducted into the Iowa State Hall of Fame. Just pretty special to connect with Coach Mack again and a few of the other guys. Again, when I hit on it earlier, you know, it's a family, and how we're all connected, and had the opportunity to, well, actually I didn't have the opportunity to connect with him, but I know Coach Campbell stopped by, which says a lot too. That program is once it's truly, I know he's said it before, and seeing that just with his interaction with other teammates and also family of mine, once a Cyclone, always a Cyclone. So it was good seeing his representation there. And then what I was going to hit on, the last game I've been back to was at the Baylor game this year, which I got to take my oldest, me and a buddy, and took our oldest, which was, if anybody recalls that game, it was quite cold. But my oldest, my 7-year-old, she loved it, which was cool to see, because it was definitely the Cyclone faithful got tested in terms of the elements, but it was good to see them pull off a win that Baylor game.
That's cool. It's always good to bond with the next generation of Cyclone fans for sure. So I guess looking ahead, is there anything for the 2019 Iowa State football team next year? What would you consider maybe a key or two that will be the difference between them making the next step?
You know, right away, just come to mind. I mean, that experience that a lot of returners coming back, leveraging that, then it's also the next man up. You know, in the league, the Big 12 and college football nowadays, it's depth is important. So with the recruiting base and everything that's coming in, I think there's a lot of potential for Iowa State to continue to establish themselves again, not just competing, but expecting to win. And I think it's been evident too with this past season that it's not just winning, but it's competing and winning championships. And that's the goal. That's the goal of mine. I think everybody looks at what the potential was. One game away from playing the Big 12 championship. If you take down Texas and everything lines up, you're playing Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship. I know during my time, there's a couple chances that we have. And I think this team and this program is in place to get itself there. But it's, again, building on that experience, you know, focusing on the details, fine tuning, working on that depth, I think, in terms of offense and defense, it's established itself, you know, the program's established itself, the right and the opportunity to have itself a seat at that table of competing for championships. So excited about that. I think there's a lot to continue to build on, and the potential's, you know what, cliche, but true. Sky's the limit.
Last one we have for you here. You've obviously had a lot of success in your life, whether that be on the football field or in the business world. What kind of advice would you give to maybe a young person, you know, just whether they want to be a good athlete or then eventually if they want to go and get into business and, you know, and just continue to have success as a professional as well?
The advice I would give, you know what, you know, advice given to me and advice I've embraced. So I'll share that I'm a man of faith and strong faith in God and the talents that He's gifted me. I've always felt fortunate just with the ability and the opportunity to play football in the Big 12 and then being awarded a scholarship and the education that I've received from Iowa State University. Felt privileged, you know, with my undergrad and my MBA and where it's opened up opportunities and doors to where I'm at today, all that connected, knowing that God's and gifted me with abilities to perform on the football field, but also in the professional world, in the workplace, and just using those abilities to give Him the honor and glory in everything you do, and reaching that potential. And you know what? At the end of the day, having no regrets, knowing that you left it all out on the field, all in the classroom, and just doing the best you can, and the rest will take care of itself. Because in the end, you know, this is one of the things in life lessons learned from sports and education. You give your best and you leave it all out there. You have no regrets and you can accept whatever the result is in the end. And you have peace in knowing that you did your best. And in my case, knowing that I did my best to give God the glory with my talents and gifts and try to continue to strive to do that as a dad, as a father, as a husband, and in any situation I'm encountered with.
Very well said. That's a great answer. I do believe, though, that is all that we have for you today, Seth. Certainly, thank you for coming on Stands and Fits today. Is there anything else you'd like to close with regarding Iowa State or anything else you want to say before we let you go?
You know what? Just close with thanks again for letting me join in on your podcast here. And, you know, excited for the continued, you know, basketball seasons with women's basketball, men's basketball, and then also wrestling too, all the Cyclone family and sports. And all I can end with saying is go Cyclones. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. We really appreciate it. We'll be right back. You're listening to Stands and Fits on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Chris interrupting this podcast because, you know, everybody wants to know that I get it asked all the time. How can we help Cyclone Fanatic? Well, you help Cyclone Fanatic by you support our advertisers. And everybody needs to be aware of eye care. I wasn't for a long time and I went to Ames Eye Care and they really helped me out. It's changed my life. I don't have headaches the way that I did. You've heard me talk about this. They're also in Des Moines at Des Moines Eye Care. And you need to think about this with your family. Get the kids checked out. Encourage the wife. Anything. Personalized eye care, designer eyewear. I've got these sweet Maui Jim glasses that I use at work all the time. People think they look awesome. They meet your whole family's vision needs at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Check them out today and support Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits, presented by the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University. Back in the Carl Chevrolet podcast studios in Ankeny.
So do you want to do a brief talk about basketball? I know we said in the intro we wouldn't talk a whole lot about it, but maybe just do a couple minutes.
Yeah, we can do a little bit. I'm trying to think of what the best way to attack this is.
Kansas State sucked.
Yeah.
The end of that game did.
Kansas State was awful. That was a very disappointing performance.
Again, by the time most people will be listening to this, there will be another result against Texas Tech. Hopefully a good one.
Hopefully a positive result. You didn't get a pick in
for our predictions.
I didn't get a pick in for any of the predictions because I don't have access in WordPress. So someone needs to get me access in WordPress so I can start making predictions.
You know what? Since you're going to complain about it, I'll give you
right now.
I think I have the power to give you access right now.
Just assume that I would have picked every game correctly so far and we can roll from there.
I can't believe you don't have access to edit things. That's weird.
It's probably because you guys thought I would like sabotage other people's articles when I came on or something
like that.
Yeah,
man. You know, we didn't know really what I was all about. You were going to be like when you came in, whether or not you were going to try and
maybe I was a mole,
pull some funny business on us.
Yeah.
All right, man.
I've been upgraded.
You are officially now no longer just an author. You are now a contributor.
Wow.
I think that's what you need to be.
I feel so honored. Yeah, I'll have to get off after this and check it out and see if I get in those things.
Yeah, I'm looking to see.
I could have been emailing my picks to you guys, but I feel like that's a little clunky anyway. So.
Well, okay. I got to update you again. That was not the correct one to update you to. So I got to do another update.
So you're just trying to yank my leg on that one then.
You have now joined me and Chris Williams and Rob Gray and Kirk Holland and Brent Bloom as an administrator.
So now I'm an admin, which is lovely.
If anybody questions it, we're going to assume that C-Dub didn't listen to this and we'll have no idea how it happened.
Okay. But I'll secretly blame you behind the scenes.
When the next time he says, hey, you guys can put your picks in, you just need to go in and put a pick in. Like,
yeah.
Because he probably doesn't even format it for you to add one.
I'll just sneak in there, throw it in there. No one will even notice that my pick is in there and it hadn't been in there for the first few weeks.
So. Right. You have to, only loyal listeners of Stands and Fits will know that you didn't actually make a prediction.
There's probably like two or three people out there that I've been really wishing that I had been putting my predictions in.
I just remember like the last two games I looked at it and I'm like, man, where's Fitzy at? Like, did he not put a pick in? Like,
feels a little unwhole in a way.
I kept thinking too. I was like, hey, I need a...
No. I should
remind Fitzy to get his pick in.
It's not necessarily by choice. It's by inability.
Okay, fair enough. But so the game against Kansas State obviously was frustrating. I don't think right now, if we just look at this from a larger point of view, it's hard even right now to really get a good grasp on like what the, you know,
what
the race is or anything like that.
Yeah, because it's so early in the conference slate, but at the same time, people will say that there's a bunch of time left and you can still turn it around, but at the same time, every game is weighted equally.
Right.
And you can make the argument for you should win the home games. Maybe you can let up a few road games. Like, in reality, you want to win every game.
Yeah, and I think that it's the fact that you lose at home is the one that makes it most frustrating, mm-hmm. especially when you had the opportunities to close the game.
Yeah.
That they did.
Like the Baylor game and its ending were frustrating, but again, losing to Kansas State, who at this point is probably an underachieving team, definitely sucks in the race for the Big 12.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Kansas State, I feel like they're probably going to escalate things here in the next couple weeks. You know what I mean?
They'll get things figured out because they weren't that great of a team during the regular season last year either.
No, and just as the number of injuries and stuff that they've battled, I mean, their guards are good, dude.
Like, yeah, they are.
Barry Brown is freaking good.
Yep.
And, you know, Xavier Sneed's a good player. Obviously, having Dean Wade back now, and you could tell that he wasn't back at 100% mm-hmm. yet when he played against Iowa State on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But once he gets back into the groove of things, I mean, I think that he'll probably be back at a really high level. But, I mean, I think that one thing that stayed true, you know, through the games early this week is that the door is still really open. Because of the fact that Kansas still just looks really vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, it comes down, Texas has a last shot opportunity to beat them in Lawrence. Somebody's going to beat them there.
Yeah.
You know, Iowa State will have an opportunity to do so on Monday. And it really, I think that what happens tonight will have a big impact on the race just because if Texas Tech moves to 5-0,
mm-hmm.
then I mean, they're very squarely in the driver's seat, I would say, because they will have faced two of their bigger tests or one of their bigger tests in having Iowa State come into Lubbock.
Yeah. And at this point, I would say that, especially after the Kansas game, again, everyone was so high on Iowa State then. But even still now, after dropping a couple games, I think most people would say that Iowa State and Texas Tech are the two biggest teams that have a shot at knocking off Kansas this year.
Mm-hmm.
So this
man, I forget though that Oklahoma's ranked like 14.
They are, and it's so weird because they lost Trae Young, and you figure they'd take a step back.
Well, yeah, I mean Oklahoma's just out here proving the Ewing theory to be factual, just time and time again. And I'm going to pull it up. I know they play tonight too.
It's so strange because I feel like
they've got Kansas State tonight.
Ever since their conference opener against Kansas, or at least one of those for you early games, mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything about them.
Yeah, if Iowa State was to go to. Assuming they win tonight, which I would think is a good assumption against Kansas State at home. At that point, if Iowa State could win tonight, then they would go to, they'd be tied for third.
Gotcha.
Behind Texas Tech and Kansas. Mm. But I think maybe we're sleeping on the Sooners a little bit. Just because of the fact that people, you think about Trae Young being gone, you're like, no, there's no way that they're going to be back in the mix. But
yeah,
I mean, they're doing everything they need to right now in order to be able to hang tough. And they've already played at Kansas and at Texas Tech.
Yeah. And I think you have to give some credit to Lon Kruger there. Like, I think everyone, kind of knew he was a good coach, but this is just further proving, he can take a program that lost such a star player like Trae mm-hmm. Young and keep him playing at a high caliber.
It is kind of weird with the Big 12 scheduling, how Iowa State won't play them until February. And they will have already played at that point Oklahoma State twice and Kansas twice.
Yeah, it bothers me that, again, we're playing Oklahoma State in Hilton on Saturday and then Kansas on Big Monday.
Right.
Back to back, and we'll be done with both of those teams.
Fortunately, you might be catching Oklahoma State at a pretty good time.
Yeah, they just released three of their players off their roster, didn't they?
Right, and I think they kicked somebody off the team last week for some reason.
Yeah,
so I feel like I remember that.
So they must have some bad character apples on that, or they had some bad character apples on that team.
Who knows? But I mean, I would say that makes that an easier win, hopefully. And hopefully you can take care of business there, and then whatever happens in Lawrence, happens, I guess.
I would say that if Iowa State lost to Texas Tech and then came back and lost to a decimated Oklahoma State team at home, then that's officially panic button time.
Yeah, I think right now the panic button is in the room.
Yeah, it's in the room, but it's like on the other side of the room.
Right. Yeah, it's over. Yeah, it's over there by the window.
Yeah.
And we're, maybe every once in a while.
We're taking a peek at it.
Yeah, you just give it a little glance, but you're not.
Sure it's there, just in case.
And I really even think we said we're not going to talk about this game. If they go to Lubbock and play well and you lose by two to the number 8 team in the country, at that point, it's like, okay, hey, it happened. Whatever. Like, you lost number 8 team in the country by 2 points on their home court.
Now, I will say,
but if you go and get your ass kicked, then all of a sudden you've got, then we're maybe looking at that thing a little bit more.
I will say, though, that if they have a lead late in the game and they kind of quote unquote blow it again, though, there will be a big meltdown again.
Oh, yeah.
Even though Texas Tech is a very good team.
Yeah. All right. That's enough hoops, I think.
Okay. That was more than I was planning on talking about.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did.
Some other big news coming out of Wednesday is the announcement that Iowa State has not scheduled a spring game for the second consecutive year. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about there not being a spring game?
I've never been a huge spring game fan. Like, the 1 year I went, it was less than an hour long. And again, it's not technically a real game mm-hmm. format. Like, they just throw out different situations most of the time. So it doesn't really bother me that much. I know some people like to tailgate for it, and it lines up nicely because usually it's on the same day as Size Hats Trivia. So it just gives you another thing to do while you're in Ames for that. But for me, if Coach Campbell thinks it's going to be better to use that as a regular practice, then I say go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, with everything that he's been able to do, if he doesn't want to do the spring game, then, hey, that's cool, man.
Like if
he doesn't think it does any good for the program, then the fans shouldn't be worked up about the fact that it's like, hey, why are you taking away our tailgating day in April?
Yeah. And the thing is, fans can still tailgate if they want.
Like, right.
You don't technically need a game to go out in the lots and do something.
Yeah. And I've seen people on Twitter already having that conversation that they want to have some sort of party in the lots.
Yeah. And I saw someone post a poll of which weekend it would work best. And in my opinion, you should just wait until you get a good weather weekend.
Yeah. Which is probably hard to plan something like that. I mean, you got to probably plan it in advance, but
you have to try your best. But yeah, weather is most important.
I think it's better to just announce it now and say we're not doing it than to plan it and then have, like, I mean, people plan on like coming to have their tailgate and all this stuff, and then like the day before it's like, yeah, we're not doing the game.
Yeah, I agree. It's good to get it out there.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's not like it made the university any money you know, not charging ticket fees or anything like that. It's just like, it's just over, you know? Yeah. I think that we're probably on the same page. If it's not the best thing for the program, then trust Coach Campbell on that one. Another note, I think that is good to touch on. Iowa State has set up an official visit with Miami graduate transfer wide receiver Lawrence Cager.
Big body.
Big body.
A lot like Hakeem Butler.
Yeah, I'm pulling him up right now. Lawrence Cager, Miami.
I want to say he's 6'5 and 218 or something like that.
He is 6'5, 200 pounds. That is according to 247.
Okay.
And he was a three-star recruit, a high three-star out of high school when he signed with the Hurricanes. I'm looking to see some of the other schools that he maybe visited. Visited Alabama in January of 2015.
What do they know about football?
He was offered by Auburn. I don't know if he hadn't. Oh, yeah, he had an offer from Alabama. officially visited Ohio State.
So basically the who's who of college football.
Yeah, he had a lot of good offers. Tennessee, Ohio State, Michigan State, Notre Dame, Ole Miss.
I did
some schools that know a thing or two about wide receivers.
Indeed.
They decided to offer him.
I did go do a little bit of snooping on Miami message boards just to see if they had threads on him departing the program. And actually, it sounds like a lot of them realize he has a ton of a potential, but at the same time, some of them say that he struggles with drops, like catching the easy bunnies.
I'm pulling up his CFB reference.
So that's a lot like you could even think that Hakeem Butler struggled with the same thing this last year.
In 3 years of play, he had 45 catches for 681 yards, which is 15.1 yards per catch, which is, you know,
up there.
Not in Hakeem Butler territory quite, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
And then 10 touchdowns. So good player.
Yep.
Guy that would obviously be a huge addition when you're trying to fill the void left by Hakeem Butler, and he will be visiting next weekend. Not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. So probably I'm sure we'll have plenty more time to,
supposed to be
discuss that.
Absolutely craptastically cold.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, imagine going to the football game in Kansas City.
It would be both a blast and miserable at the same time.
Yeah, man. I mean, there won't be a sober person in the building,
no,
assuming that they're of drinking age. And even then, there'll probably be some people that aren't of drinking age that aren't sober.
You got to get at least 6 or 7 beers in you before you're warm enough.
Yeah. Anybody that is going to the game, I found this interesting. Have you ever heard about, so if you go to a game at Lambeau, everybody brings cardboard. Do you know that?
No.
Because it's, you put it on the ground and then you stand on it, and it's supposed to keep your feet warmer than if you're just standing on the cement.
I guess that makes sense just because the cardboard itself probably hasn't collected so much cold, like, you know, absorbed the cold.
It's just like some barrier in between the concrete and your feet that's supposed to keep your feet a little bit warmer than it would be if it was just, which I think, hey, people, if you're going to a game at Jack Trice next year and the forecast is like it was for the Drake game, throw your cardboard down. I don't think it would probably do much help, I guess, and when it's sleeting outside. But
that's true.
If it's, you know, just cold, bitterly cold, then maybe that would be a thing that people want to keep an eye on, an idea.
Knowing our luck, the security at Jack Trice Stadium wouldn't let you bring in cardboard or something.
How would that be different than a sign, though? I wouldn't think it would.
That's a good point. You could disguise your cardboard as a sign.
There you go. Yeah, just like write some sort of generic saying on it. Like the old NCAA football games where it's like, mom, please send money or whatever.
Yeah.
Hi, mom. Like just those random signs that they would show on there.
Mm.
Man, shout out to NCAA football. Good ideas. All comes back to NCAA football all the time. All right. You got anything else that you think we need to touch on here?
One quick thing, actually. Regarding transfers, Jalen Hurts is headed to Oklahoma.
He is headed to Oklahoma.
Which is going
to
be big, big, big 12 news.
It is. The only thing for me, and obviously this is big news because of the fact that Lincoln Riley has had so much success with those transfers the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
The one difference is that didn't Baker have a year where he was there before he played?
Yep.
And then Kyler had a year where he was there before he played.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Jalen Hurts is obviously coming from Alabama. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like he's not coming from a place where he wasn't getting, you know, top level coaching or something like that.
Yeah.
But that will be one thing to me that I think will be a little bit different than these past two guys where it's like they come in and win the Heisman. I wouldn't think that Jalen Hurts all of a sudden will be like a Heisman front runner or something.
Agreed. I think it could be the kind of thing where he and Oklahoma's offense start off a little rocky mm-hmm. in the beginning of the year, and then they get better as the year goes along.
It'll probably be different too, just because he's a different kind of player. He's more of a power runner like than the guy like Kyler.
Not as much of a speed guy.
Yeah.
More of a plow him over type runner.
So. Man, those lucky SOBs in Norman.
And then, okay, the funny thing, well, not necessarily funny depending on who you ask, but their guy who's transferring out, their quarterback.
Austin Kendall.
Yeah, they're blocking him from going to the Big 12 and anyone on their schedule.
That's so stupid. Yeah. I don't understand the point of that. Like, what?
I never do either.
At that point, you're not... Now, at this point, it's just, they're going to look bad for a couple days, and then they're going to have to relent and be like, all right, yeah, you can play.
And for all they know, he could transfer to somewhere, again, like some one of those top-tier SEC schools.
Play him in the playoff,
exactly. They could still end up playing him at some point.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think that it's just... I think they're being rather short-sighted on that situation just because of the fact that... Actually, I don't know. I can't even justify it. Like, I don't know why they would even come from there. Like, what's the point?
It's punishing a player. That's all it is.
And it's not, and you can't say it's like, oh, he was going to be our starter. Like, you're out looking for another quarterback, and you've continuously brought in transfers to, like, play over this guy.
It's very hypocritical of Oklahoma.
They are bringing in the number one quarterback in the class, though.
Yeah.
In the 2019 class.
Spencer Rattler, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's the number one pro-style quarterback in the... in the 2019 recruiting class. Yep. So that might be another thing to watch. Like, would it be that shocking if Jalen Hurts didn't go in and go like, and was, if he wasn't tearing it up, like this true freshman all of a sudden takes over?
Be another Tua Tagovailoa situation.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he'll be thinking, man, maybe I should have gone to Maryland.
Exactly. ran the triple option or something.
Yeah. I'm sure that would have gone well. All right. Let's do hot and not.
All right.
You can go first.
All right. My hot this week, fast food at the White House.
I was actually just going to put this out on as a topic because I knew that both of us would probably want to talk about
agreed.
It.
So again, I know you could take this a political way if you really dug into it, but I just think it's hilarious. And as a college kid, I think getting access to a big spread of these fast food options would be super cool.
Yeah. I tweeted it out. I just retweeted the... where he said that. And when I first saw the video, I listened. I was like, man, he's gotta be kidding. Cause the way he's like, that's gotta be their favorite food. I was like,
you're just joking, right?
Yeah. Right. I was like, man, I think he's kidding. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he's kidding. And then once I saw the pictures of it, I was like, oh my God, it's real.
Yeah.
How is this real? And I mean, like you said, it's awesome. I just thought it was hilarious. Like that's the way that he like presented it.
And I'm not a Division I athlete, and obviously people are different based on their own tastes and whatnot. But if I was going to the White House, I'd be excited for a typical what you would think of a regular White House dinner, like, you know, a plated meal.
Yeah.
But I would also be excited in a different way for a fast food meal.
Well, and for this, it's just now it's like a cool story. You know, they can always be like, yeah, we went to the White House and they gave us McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess my lead in after this is if you had to pick three fast food restaurants.
I was gonna ask you the same. Yeah.
To build your ultimate fast food spread, what fast food restaurants would you pick?
Man,
so I've got mine. If you want me to go,
okay,
ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so for me, I want to have some variety. So I got to have at least one burger place. Mm-hmm. My burger place, my favorite burger is Culver's.
Okay,
and I think that they've got a decent menu offering as well.
Do they have Culver's in Washington D.C.?
Are we having to go regionally?
See, this is what I'm saying, like, because it for me it'd be Bebop's, but they're probably not going to be able to get Bebop's into the White House.
I think for the purposes of this question, let's just say that you can move the White House anywhere, so you can include anywhere.
Okay, so this hypothetical situation just became even more hypothetical.
Yes, extremely hypothetical.
So now the president lives in Des Moines, Iowa,
going to Culver's.
I want Bebop's.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Bebop's is good as well. I like that pick. My second pick would be Panda Express.
Okay.
Just because I think it's a different enough
option. It's not American food, but yeah.
It's American Chinese. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my third would probably be a pizza place. I'm not sure which pizza place. I guess I'd probably just go Pizza Hut just because I like their stuffed crust.
So. Yeah. Did you hear us talking about... You probably didn't listen. Did you listen to Fanatics on Tuesday when I was on there?
Mm-mm.
We're talking Ross, like, because their new thing's sponsored by Satellite City, the Ford 4 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about Amazon Alexa speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris just got one. And I said, I made some comment like about how I'm dreading the next time I go to Chris's house. Like once he's figured out how to really use the Alexa,
he's gonna want
to
use it all the time.
Because you just know that he'll abuse it. Like yeah. I know that guy too well to know that he won't be, you know, really taking advantage of that. It's either that or he'll have like some sort of tape on it, like to make sure that it's not recording everything that he says.
Mm, yeah.
Like he will try to like rig it up to where it's like
the government.
He's government proofed it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I was like, I told the story about one of the first times I went and hung out with them. I think I was still in college. And he started going off about how he had discovered that you could order Pizza Hut on the internet and that you didn't have to talk to anybody and deliver it to him. And this was like 2015, you know?
So pretty recently.
Right. Well, yeah. So it's like well after Pizza Hut had made it where you could order Pizza Hut on the internet.
Yeah.
And it was really funny. And then I was like, man, just think about once he figures out that you can order Pizza Hut.
On Alexa. Yeah.
And he texted us today. He texted me and Ross. And apparently someone had told him that that we were crapping on him about this thing. And I told him that we were talking about how he could order his Alexa to order Pizza Hut. And all his response was, seriously? And I said, yes. He's like, how? Do you got to give her your credit card or something?
Oh, gosh. That's funny. So Chris is
I felt like he was texting us to act like he was all mad that we were crapping on him. And then I told him that and immediately like his just mentality switched. He was like, wait, I got to know how I can order pizza by Amazon.
That's a sign that Chris is officially into dad stage of life.
Yeah.
That's like something like you would be like, hey, dad, I'm going to teach you how to use your Alexa.
Well, and that is definitely a dad thing.
Yeah.
Like to get an Alexa and not really know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
like, but you feel cool for getting it, but at the same time, you're not using it to its fullest capabilities.
Yeah. Like all you've figured out how to do is what you've heard on the iHeart commercials, the Alexa play Murph and Andy on 1460 KXNO, you know, or just play whatever on your Amazon Music.
Mm.
And after that, it's like, yeah. Or you like ask her to tell you a joke. You just know like the very bare bones things you can do with Alexa.
Telling the joke would be a perfect example.
Oh, yeah.
Because every dad just wants to be like, hey, Alexa, tell me a joke. And of course, you know, she responds.
Right.
It's like, that's the big party quirk.
But now it'll be like, we'll walk into his house and he'll do something and then he'll like look at you, you know, like give you that look where he's just like, see how cool I am with my Alexa.
Exactly. Give you the like, side eye.
Are you proud of me? You're proud of me that I know how to use my Alexa?
Yeah.
I'm
so hip and modern.
But yeah, I mean, as far as the breaking news, Oklahoma will grant grad transfer quarterback Austin Kendall the waiver to be immediately eligible at West Virginia.
Oh, really?
Breaking just as we are recording this.
Wow.
After we probably already had somebody tweet at us and tell us that they granted it.
Yeah. So very gracious of you, Oklahoma.
Yeah. How nice of you folks.
Mm.
Folks, you down in on the rolling hills of Oklahoma. my hot this week is egg. Have you seen this?
I have.
An egg. Someone posted a challenge on Instagram after Kylie Jenner got the most liked picture in the history of Instagram, something like 18 million likes. They posted a picture of an egg saying, let's break Kylie Jenner's record. And it did. It has probably like 25 million likes or something on it.
Yeah.
And now everybody is like posting stupid stuff trying to break the egg's record.
See that? Yeah, this isn't the first time that I've seen something like this.
And that's my question to you, what is the stupidest thing that someone could post that you would like and be like, yeah, let's do it. Like, let's break this record.
Well, I mean,
now I don't think it's got any novelty to it though.
That's the thing. Like the answer could be literally any random thing.
Right.
Like it could be a picture of this pipe that's above us.
Yeah.
It could be, I don't know. I mean, so I guess if you're trying to get me to name the stupidest thing I could think of, I don't even know what that would be.
See, now like somebody famous needs to organically break the record again so that then the whole cycle can restart.
Yeah.
Because now the egg is like,
once the egg is
some
rebroken,
celebrity.
But or here's the other thing to think about though. If the egg's record is rebroken, then will that one that already has so many likes resurface? Like, you know, people will start pushing it again. It's like, hey, we got to get the egg back up there. Past the new record.
This is just like the most internet thing ever to me. Like that somebody out there just said, hey, I'm going to get this egg to get 19 million likes.
So here's a question for you. If you were Kylie Jenner, what would your thoughts be on this?
I feel like if you know the internet well, which she clearly knows how to do, considering how much money she makes off of it, I think you just have to own it, you know? Like, just be like, damn.
See, if I was...
Respect.
I agree with you. But if I was her, I'd like take a picture with an egg or something.
Well, knowing
like
her,
that.
I mean, on the same... I don't follow the Kardashians that much, but just knowing how that, you know, how that ecosystem works to an extent, I could see where she is like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, why did they do that, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, while she knows how to work the internet, does she get the humor of the internet?
Right.
Is another question.
Yeah. And it's just, the internet is just a weird place. And especially if you're like in meme culture and stuff like that, and you're really following those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just some weird crap that goes on.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I almost guarantee that this is something that started on Reddit. I could guarantee it.
Yeah.
They came up with this idea on Reddit.
Probably.
I haven't looked at Reddit, but I feel like that's almost
and
guaranteed.
If it didn't necessarily originate on Reddit, it was definitely amplified by Reddit.
Right.
So, man, anyhow.
Do you get on Reddit ever?
I do. Yeah, I've actually gotten more and more on Reddit as time's gone on.
Yeah, I used to get on all the time, but I don't get on it near as much now.
So we're opposite. I keep growing, you keep ungrowing.
Yeah, I feel like it's just kind of... It's lost steam a little bit.
A lot. I do see a lot of repeat posts, like, you know, that get recycled after so many years. Like, I see stuff that I saw 2 or 3 years ago pop up.
Yeah. Instagram's kind of getting that way, though, too. Mm. It's just everybody wants to do something cool.
People run out of original content.
All right. What's your knot?
My knot this week, house hunting. One of the reasons we had to reschedule the pod for Wednesday is because after you got off the radio yesterday, I was house hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife and I, we just started actually looking at houses, like going on visits and stuff to check stuff out. The first two houses that we wanted to view, literally the day of scheduling them, we got a text from our realtor back, said that it had been sold twice.
Mm-hmm.
So on our third try, we finally got to go, like, get into a house, which is insane. It blows my mind how fast houses can get listed and sold.
Yeah.
You have to be such on top of things. Otherwise, you're going to get passed up.
You're looking in the Ames area?
We are looking like between Pleasant Hill, Bondurant, Ankeny, and then...
Man, yeah, don't go to Bondurant. You and your Bond... You guys are going to be the Bondurant Mafia.
We are actually... Tonight, we are looking at a house in Bondurant.
Oh, my God.
But, okay. I'm not married to any of those towns. It's just the fact that... I work in Ames. My wife works in Des Moines, and then our family's all in like Southeast Iowa.
Yeah.
So if anywhere we'd like to be, it'd probably be on the east side of the metro, just because you can zip where we need to go from over there. But yeah, it'd be funny because I do know that Chris lives in Bondurant. Doesn't Bloom live
Bloom
in Bondurant?
Bloom also lives in Bondurant. Yeah.
So yeah, basically Cycle Fanatic should open another outlet.
I was gonna say, like, the world headquarters of Cycle Fanatic just needs to open in Bondurant.
Yeah, we could just find like a building near Reclaim Rails Brewery or something.
There's got to be like an old abandoned shack or something that we could buy.
Probably.
You know, and just like look cool. It still has to look crappy on the outside because that's just, you know, it'll be like our little bat cave. But then on the inside, we make it build like a cool studio and stuff. And
I like that idea. We could just buy a little like 10 yard by 10 yard plot of land. That's all we need.
10 yard by 10 yard. It's like the size of an outhouse.
Exactly. That's all. So anyways, but yeah, it's interesting, you know, getting actually into the going out and seeing all these houses things. There are fun parts of house hunting, and there are very not fun parts too.
What did I put down for my nut? I can't even remember.
You put down spring games, but we already...
Oh yeah,
we
already talked about the spring game.
So.
Oh crap! I should have remembered that.
Great job, dude. Took away your nut. So wait.
What else could I do?
Is there
anything else on your mind?
Anything else on my mind? That's a tough one. I don't think so. We covered most everything on my mind. Is there anything that like Rob's done lately that you can use as not anything? Any of the other Cycle Fanatic staffers has done?
No. I mean, not that I can think of. Like, I can't even... No, I actually want to talk about this. Did you see Steve Carell's coming out with a new show?
Mm-mm.
I just saw this on Twitter. I was thinking about this earlier, though.
So this is a knot?
No, this isn't even a knot. This is just something to talk about. Because I know you appreciate The Office.
I do.
I appreciate The Office as well. Steve Carell and Greg Daniels, who is one of the creators of The Office, have... announced a new show on Netflix called Space Force, and it will be about the sixth branch of the of the armed forces, the Space Force.
So is there, okay, so they've announced it. There's no like trailer yet or anything.
There's like,
that,
like a teaser, just that kind of announced it. But yeah, he's going to star in it. So
on which channel did you say?
It'll be on Netflix.
Okay. So it's a comedy, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would guess so. Because Greg Daniels created Parks and Rec too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So I'm sure it'll be kind of in, I would hope that it'll be in a similar format.
That would be, so is Steve Carell going to be in it?
Yeah. He's going to star in it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that'll be interesting then.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome.
Nice. Now I'm kind of curious. I'm about to tune in. Have you seen anything on Netflix that you've enjoyed recently?
Oh, I actually thought it might not now.
Okay.
You remember Fire Festival?
Mm.
Okay, well, it was the festival, you know, allegedly started by Ja Rule. He was kind of connected to it.
I have no idea.
But it was when the people, like all the rich kids, went to the Bahamas and then they were like staying in the FEMA tents. And and like their meal was like a bread with a piece of cheese and like some lettuce.
Okay.
There was a documentary that came out on Hulu on Monday, and there's actually going to be one that comes out on Netflix on Friday about the same thing. Different filmmakers for each one. I don't understand. People were paying like $25,000 for this, or like $250,000, like, and it was such a scam. And you could tell that it was a scam from, just like, you look at this stuff and you're like, man, there's no way that this is real.
Yeah.
How could anybody have fallen for this? And the way that it blew up, once you watch the documentary, you're just like, damn, there's some really stupid people in this world that would believe that this is a real thing.
Yeah.
Well, so I'll suggest people watch Fire Fraud on Hulu. I have some questions about the one on Netflix. I'll probably watch it, but I'm skeptical.
The thing about stupid people is you have to think about like the most average person, you know, and then think that they're literally, there's that he's like the 50th percentile. Half of all people are dumber than that guy. If you think about that.
See, and in reality, like a lot of times the most average guy, you know, you probably look at him and it's like, I think of it being someone that's like, they're not necessarily like, they have their moments of being good at things, but then they have their moments of being bad at things.
Yeah.
And then like more often than not, they just do like an adequate job at everything.
They put along in life, never being that great of an achiever, but also like they don't completely, you know, fail.
Yeah. So that's where I'm like, you think about that guy. And a lot of times you'll be like, man, like that guy is just, it's just that guy.
He exists.
He's just that guy.
Yeah.
And then you think about the idea of there being stupider people, and I almost don't know if you even encounter them, you know?
Yeah.
Like you probably do. Maybe you don't realize it. You don't have enough time spent with them to like appreciate like how stupid they are.
And there are obviously different kinds of stupid too. Like there are some people just who aren't book smart, and there are other people who are socially awkward. And those are two different kinds of, you know.
It was a lot of these people that were getting in trouble for this. I mean, it was like quote unquote influencers, the people that, you know, have developed a big Instagram following or something like that, and have for some reason people are drawn to them.
So on
some level they might actually be kind of smart, but like they were still stupid enough to not realize that this was not real.
So the thing that the documentary was on, like it would have happened in the last few years then?
Yeah, it was in April of 2017.
Okay. So pretty dang recently.
Yeah, almost 2 years ago.
Gotcha.
I was surprised you didn't remember this. It was a huge internet story. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, and it was like I don't understand how anybody fell for this. They had said that they bought an island that was owned by Pablo Escobar, and it's like this private island, and then in reality it was like a big gravel pit right outside of like a Sandals in the Bahamas, and it made no sense. Like now that you see it, you're like, man, these people are really dumb. And even the people that were working on it, they're like, there was no way this was ever going to work. And yet somehow they kept figuring out how to get more money to like get to fool people into thinking that it was going to work.
Yeah.
And now the guy who created it is like in trouble for like wire fraud and stuff like that. So
that's another thing though, like the whole Instagram influencer side of things. I know that like some of the people who do that are, you know, very genuine, and what they do is somewhat realistic to what they do every day.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I also know people who have gone on like trips, and then they take a crap ton of different pictures, and then they just like post those same pictures from that like week long trip for years. And that's like, and they get so much content out of one excursion.
Sounds like the people that study abroad and then never let you forget.
Yeah. But in a different way. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good comparison.
Yeah.
So.
Well, at least theirs are usually for an extended. Sorry to all the people that study abroad. But
no, it just
happens. Like everybody knows that they're like, you can think of one person that you almost can't have a conversation with them about that without them, especially people our age, like without them telling you about the 6 months that they spent in Rome and or wherever. Shout out to my friend, Alex. He's my best friend. And he's at the point now where he has gotten to the point where he won't bring it up. Cause I'm like,
you'll give him grief.
Oh, you went to Italy, bro? I didn't know. We only lived together for 3 years. You've only been telling me these stories forever.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like when, you know, obviously it'd be super fun. If you get to go, then that's super awesome for you. Enjoy it. You can post about it while you're there. Maybe you have like a month window afterwards that you can reflect a little bit. But after that, don't really, there's no need to tell everyone about it.
Well, and it's just like, we're like, yeah, we get it. Like you went to Rome, you know? And I usually give him crap. Like he'll like tell a story that I've never heard. And you know, it's like, yeah, when I was in Rome and I was like, oh, you went to Rome? And it's like, and he's like, yes, but yeah. Oh yeah, did you know?
It's like technically I had to open the story with that small fact.
Yeah, he just has to, it's just like a clarifier. But but then he'll tell a story and it's like actually a good story. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know, cool.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess I'll let you talk about the time you went to Rome.
All right. Somebody told us on the forums that we need to do more hot and not, less would you rather.
And that shocked me. Like, I mean, I don't really have too many big opinions, but I guess I would have figured that people like the would you rather.
Yeah, apparently not. Or at least not that one guy. No. I was thinking maybe we could think of some new stuff.
We should. It has been a while because we added would you rather a few months ago. I mean, it's just probably technically the newest part of the Stanza Fitz pod, but.
Really? And maybe it's run its course. Just got to keep it cycling through.
Might have to.
Hot and not's like the only thing that we've done for the entire time.
It is. Because obviously we had bad beer there at the beginning. Rest in peace.
Right.
Rest in peace and peace. And then obviously we've kind of done some mailbag questions every now and then too.
Yeah.
But yeah, hot and not.
I saw you submitted a mailbag question.
I did. Chris didn't answer it. I was a little bit disappointed.
I wasn't surprised that he didn't answer, to be completely honest.
Okay, but
other people reacted on the forum, so.
Regarding my question, what has Chris ever told you about dating advice? Like I guarantee he has said something to you at some point about how to reel in the ladies.
Man, I've gotten more. See, sometimes the like lines are blurred between seriousness and not seriousness.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like he'll tell you something or tell me something, and I'm like, and I just kind of sit there and I'm like, I don't know. I'm gonna assume that he's not, that he's kidding.
Yeah.
And I kind of just move on from it, you know. But no, he doesn't give. He gives me advice, but it's not like stuff that I'm gonna probably come share on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know,
just like joking around kind of stuff. I gotcha.
Yeah, it would be more of a right. Just kidding around stuff.
Well, I teed it up. He could have shared one of those jokes on the mailbag, but chose to ignore me. So feel a little bit hurt.
Meanwhile, I made it into the mailbag. So
you did. Yeah, I saw that. So good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's like that one time you studied abroad in Italy. Keep on bringing it up. All right. So we'll do a couple would you rathers, I guess. I don't have numbers on this one, so I'm just going to pick one or two.
Okay.
Would you rather end death due to car accidents or end terrorism?
End terrorism, probably.
Okay. Because car accidents terrorism is a very evil thing.
Right.
Whereas car accidents is just like chance.
Yeah. I mean, car accidents just happen. You know, like that is not planned more often than not.
Yeah.
Terrorism is a planned attack. And it's like it's literally meant to create terror. It's meant to create panic.
So so that was pretty easy. But like, let's substitute in something that's a little more chance related, kind of like car accidents.
Uh-huh.
It's more of an incident. Is there something that comes to mind as far as that? So I'm trying to think of common ways that people might die to chance. Plane wrecks, I guess. Plane wrecks or car accidents?
I mean, I would actually assume that a lot more people probably die from car wrecks than they do plane crashes.
Oh, I'm sure.
So then I would say probably probably car wrecks. Like,
but you also have to think technically the people who die in plane crashes probably go through much more trauma, like while through the whole process. Because if a plane goes down,
but do you?
Because I figure if a plane goes down, like you're gonna have like 2 or 3 minutes until you impact that you're gonna be like thinking, oh crap, this is the end. Like, what do I do now?
See, but the thing is with it, if it is a plane crash, like depending on the circumstances of it, I would think that maybe the cabin like got depressurized, you know, mm-hmm. and then like you die before you would ever even hit the ground or anything like that.
That could be.
But then with like a car accident, like you could get in a car accident and you survive the initial accident and then die later, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
This is really dark. Like, this is a really dark consideration.
Sorry, I really opened up this would you rather with a dark one.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try to find a happier one.
I'd have to say car accidents, though, just because I feel like there's probably a lot more people that die from car accidents than they do from plane crashes.
I just read this one. This is so easy. I don't know why this would ever be a debate. Would you rather be a millionaire by winning the lottery or by working 100 hours a week? I mean, I guess that's fishing for the people who are like, oh, I'd rather work for my money. I'd rather earn it. But at the same time,
absolutely not.
No, I'd rather win the lottery.
Yeah, I would definitely rather win the lottery.
That's not an official.
Anybody who says otherwise, I'm just gonna be honest. Like, you're just being an ass. Like, if you're like, oh, I'd rather work for my money than win $100 million for paying two or whatever you have to pay to get a lottery ticket. You know?
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, here's a decent one. Would you rather rule the world or live in a world with absolutely no problems at all? So basically, do you want to be in charge of everything or do you want to just live where there's no problems?
Probably live where there's no problems, because I feel like if you're the ruler of the world, you would have a lot of problems. You know?
Yeah.
That's like a mo money, mo problems situation.
It is, because even though you could enact the laws and, you know, thoughts and feelings that you're feeling, people would be mad at you.
There'd always be someone that's unhappy, and therefore there's always probably someone that's trying to overthrow you, you know?
Or flat out kill you.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you're constantly battling to maintain your power. Yeah. And at that point, I'd just rather have no problems.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm trying to find a happy one here. That was kind of middle of the road. Okay, here's one. This one is one that the ladies... prospective Jared Stansberry ladies might be interested in hearing. Would you rather have 3 kids and no money or no kids with $3 million? So I'm going to say that. Okay. So here's the, what I'm going to say the criteria for this is: for 3 kids with no money, you can live a regular life, like going forward, like you can get another job, but like it's a poor job. So like you basically
live enough for your family to live.
Correct.
Or make enough for your family to live. Yeah.
Or you can never have kids, but you get $3 million.
I would probably go with never have kids. And then I would make sure, and I mean, I would have enough money that I would be able to guarantee that I could maintain my friendships with my close friends, so that then once they have kids, I'll just be the cool rich uncle that's always buying stuff for them. And therefore I will still have an opportunity to spoil kids, but they will not be mine. And I won't have to have any of the hard stuff of being a parent.
Good answer. Good answer. That's the Family Feud clap with the good answer.
Thank you
for me right there.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like I worked my way around that one.
You did very nicely, because being the rich uncle who can only bring smiles to kids' faces is the best role to be in.
Without a doubt. All right. Thanks, man, for coming in.
Yeah, no problem.
Hopefully the Cyclones got a win over Texas Tech tonight and everybody is very happy. Thanks again to Seth Zier for coming on the podcast, talking to us about the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. Thanks to Carl Chevrolet for presenting the Carl Chevrolet Podcast Studios in Ankeny. We will talk to you guys again soon. Beat the Cowboys. Peace.